We're looking at six promises to the sheep. This morning we're going to look at never experiencing death, and they shall never perish. Never perish. Jeremy and I were talking after Bible school one night. And Kenny can attest to this, and if any of you have taught, I'm sure Ricky can say this, and many of you that taught can attest to this, that when you study and prepare for a lesson, you're always the one that gets more out of it than those you're preaching or speaking to. Because the hours that you spend digging and studying and looking at things, they stick with you a little more, and they're beneficial to you. Not that they're not beneficial to you, but when you study, God blesses those that study to prepare lessons. I believe that. And there's many times where I've had to repent of a sin when I'm studying and looking forward to preach on. There's many times where I'm blessed, overly joyful of something that I'm trying to convey joy to you about. Because God sees fit to bless those that study His Word. And this is such a case this morning that in studying for this, they shall never perish. I begin thinking, what all can I talk about to have a whole message on this one phrase, they shall never perish? This one promise given to the sheep that if you trust in Christ Jesus, if you are a sheep under the great shepherd's care, you will never perish. What can I say about this? So begin to look at that word perish. And I begin to do a word study. And it had been quite a while since I'd done just a word study on something. And that word perish is used in our Bible 153 times. Some form of the word perish, whether it's perish or perished or perishing. And 92 times it's used in the New Testament. The specific Greek words that's used is a word, and I'm not trying to bore you, we'll get somewhere with this, but the specific Greek word that is used is called apolemi. And it says to be away from or to destroy. In the New Testament, that same word, that same Greek word, that's the word used 92 times, and it's translated perish 33 of those times. That means it's translated something else, which was what I was interested in finding out. What else is this word translated? When Jesus said, they shall never perish, there's other places in Scripture where that same word is used, and it's not the word perish. What does it say? Well, it's used destroyed 26 different times. Almost as many times as the word perished is used, the word destroyed is used. It's used as lose. Let me give you some examples here. Perish, of course, is used in John 3:16. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's actually used in Mark 4. If you came to Bible school, you remember when the disciples were in the boat and the great storm came and Jesus was asleep, and they went to Jesus and they said, don't you care that we perish? In Luke chapter 17, I'm going to read a couple verses to you. They did eat, and they drank and married wives and were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. That word destroyed is the same word used as perish. Likewise also was it in the days of Lot when they did eat and drink and bought and sold, and they planted and they builded. And the same day Lot went to Sodom and rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. That's the same word. And in that same chapter, just a couple verses over, because he's talking about destroying. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. And then he says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. We know that verse a lot, right? Those that seek to lose your life shall find it. But if you seek to save your life, you will what? Lose it. You know what that word is? Lose. It's perish. Or that's that same Greek word, is destroy. You see, the translators did something. Our translators did a great job, okay? I'm not taking anything away from them. But sometimes they like to be fancy. And they like to use different words. But let me ask you something. In Luke 17, wouldn't that make a whole lot more sense and gel a little bit together if he said this? In the days of Noah, they were all destroyed. They were eating, drinking, and marrying, and they were all destroyed. In the days of Lot, they were eating, drinking, and marrying, and they were all destroyed. And for you, if you seek to save your life, you will destroy it. And if you destroy your life for the kingdom of God's sake, you will preserve it. You see, he's saying the same thing there. But the translators decide to use a different word. They decide to use the word lose. Mark chapter 8 and verse 35 says the same thing. For whosoever will save his life shall lose or destroy it. But whosoever shall destroy or lose his life or destroy it, his life for my sake shall save it. You see, this word perish has the idea of destruction. Utter destruction. And the great promise that is given to us from the shepherd is if you have trusted in Jesus Christ and you are one of his sheep, you will never be destroyed. You will never perish. And that's the promise we're going to look at this morning. First and foremost, I want to look. There's only 2 points to our outline, although it'll take a little while. Don't get antsy. There's a reality of perishing. And then there is a promise of never perishing. First, let's look at the reality of perishing. You know, first of all, there is a certainty of being destroyed. There is a certainty of perishing. Everyone needs to know, everyone in here this morning needs to know something, that you, in and of yourself, will perish. I had Brother Kenny read Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5 for our scripture reading this morning. Do you remember what it said? Let me give you a little background of Luke 13. These people are talking about this great tragedy that took place, okay? This great tragedy that took place, they asked Jesus if it was because of their sin that these people died. You hear that a lot today, don't you? When a hurricane happens or a tornado or an earthquake or a flood or whatever the case may be, people all the time say, well, those people were judged because of their sin. That could be. But folks, we need to be very careful when we say things like that. Because we don't know the reason why God allowed those things to happen. Sometimes God allows things to happen. And sometimes it's not because he's judging sin. So Jesus reminds the people of that very fact of what I just said, because they said, is it because they sinned? And Jesus said, unless you do something, what did he say? Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And then he said, suppose you're talking about, and he mentions another great tragedy, this tower that fell over. And he says, but I say unto you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. You see, folks, it's not a matter of, oh, those people were so wicked, God had to judge them. Fact of the matter is, we're all wicked and we all deserve the judgment of God. We all deserve the wrath of God upon us. We all deserve to perish. And apart from Jesus Christ, rest assured, folks, you will perish. And maybe that word perish doesn't ring to you today as it does back then, because we don't say it as much. But let me put it this way. If you do not repent, apart from Jesus Christ, you will be destroyed. You will be utterly destroyed. We all deserve to be utterly destroyed. Boy, that is such popular preaching. That is something all of America wants to hear, isn't it? I would say if I would turn this into TBC, Trinity Broadcasting, or to, what's the other one, Daystar? I'm sure they would want to give me a TV show. Because they would love to hear someone sit there and talk about how we all deserve to be totally destroyed. Yeah, it's not popular. But Jesus said, if you don't repent, you will perish. And it's true. Why do we deserve to utterly be destroyed? Because of one little word. Sin. Because of our sin, we deserve to be destroyed. There's a certainty of perishing, folks. I need you to realize that. I want you to understand this. If you're saved here this morning, the great news is you will never perish, but I need you to understand that there are lost loved ones that you have, there are neighbors that you have, there are co-workers that you have that will one day be utterly destroyed. And if you're here and you're unsaved, you need to realize that apart from Jesus Christ, you will be destroyed. There's a certainty of it. It is certain. But there's also a seriousness to it. Jesus warns us of the horrors of perishing. Jesus warns us of the horrors of hell. If you will, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Keep your place here in John 10 and turn to Matthew, chapter 5 with me. I want you to notice verse 29. When Jesus is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable that he hath one member, one of thy members should be destroyed or perish, and that the whole body should not be cast into hell. Verse 30, if your right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish or be destroyed, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. Jesus talks about the seriousness of hell. Oh, people talk about, well, all my friends will be there. It'll be one great party. Heaven would be so boring. I'd rather be in hell where it will be more exciting. Jesus says, he's basically saying here, if you have a problem with stealing, and that would keep you from repenting of your sins and believing in Him because you can't give up that sin of stealing, you would be better off to cut your hands off so that you wouldn't steal again than to suffer in hell. If you're looking upon someone and lusting or coveting after something that your neighbor has and your eye is constantly looking and wanting things that it shouldn't, Jesus said you would be better off to pluck your eyes out as opposed to enter into the reality of the hell that awaits those that are unrepentant. Folks, perishing, being destroyed, is a certainty of those apart from Christ. And it's also a serious thing. We shouldn't joke about hell. We shouldn't mock it. We should never, ever utter the words to someone to go there. And we should never have those inside, inward feelings in our hearts of those that do us wrong, of saying they will be vindicated one day by going to hell. That shouldn't enter our minds. Because when we think that way, when we jest about hell, when we mock it, when we tell others to go there, or when we secretly think God will punish them and they'll get what they deserve, when we do those things, we're basically confessing that we don't have a serious understanding of what hell is. It is a place where Jesus said you'd be better off to mutilate yourself to keep yourself from being tempted to sin and go there. Preachers don't preach on hell anymore. It's not popular. Doesn't get you that TV show I was talking about. Don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Don't want to make anybody feel bad or hurt their self-esteem. Thank God for preachers that will stand up and tell people about perishing, about destruction coming, about a hell that is real and that is out there. Folks, you need to know it. You need to understand it. That there is a reality of perishing. And that reality is an eternity in hell. Matthew chapter 10. You can just turn over a couple pages to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Fear not them which is able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So you're worried about your earthly life? Don't be afraid of someone if they could take your earthly life. You worry more about the God in heaven that is able to cast both body and soul into hell. Yeah, people don't preach hell anymore, but that doesn't make it any less real than what it was then, and any less real than what it is today, and any less real of what it will be in eternity future. And one thing about hell, we're using this word, perish or destroy. Make no mistake about it, folks. Hell is not a total annihilation. Hell is not a place that someone goes and dies and then their existence ends. No. It's the place where the worm never dies. It is a place of constant weeping and gnashing of teeth. Complete separation from God. Folks, that is the certainties and the reality of perishing. Next, that's bad news, isn't it? I think we ought to talk about some good news for the rest of the time, though, don't you? And the good news is the promise that Jesus is able to give. And that is this. That His sheep will never perish. You'll never perish. That's the exact opposite of the previous promise that we covered. What was the first promise? Jesus says, talking about His sheep, He says, I give unto them eternal life. And then He says, and they shall never perish. They shall never be destroyed. You can't have one of these promises without the other. They go hand in hand. Jesus promises eternal life, but He also promises never to be destroyed. You can't have one without the other, but both are separate blessings, aren't they? Let me first of all talk about what this promise is not, because there's some confusion that could be had here. This promise does not mean we will never die physically. Okay? That's not what he's talking about here. Between the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 27, and the book of Revelation verse 21 and verse 4, there are two statements given. And in between those two statements, death will reign. Physical death. The first statement in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 27 says, "In that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And they ate, didn't they? And then that last phrase is in Revelation 21:4, and it says, "There shall be no more death." No more death. But in between the time where they ate of the apple, or the fruit, or whatever the case may be, and the period of time where God completely abolishes death, there's one reality we must face, that we will die physically. We will die physically if the Lord tarries, and we are not immune to accidents. God's people aren't immune to accidents. We're not immune to diseases. We're not immune to murder. We're not immune to any type of attack or terrorist attack. And we're not immune to any kind of persecution. God's people can die in any of those ways. Think of those that suffer diseases. You ever known anybody that was very godly, that strived to please the Lord in everything they've done? But they may have gotten cancer. They may have had some sort of disease and died from it. See, we're not immune from that. We will experience physical death. That's not what the promise is. The promise is this. That the sheep, God's people, those that have put their faith, confidence, and trust in a resurrected Christ, will never experience God's destruction. See, apart from those that the book of Thessalonians says are alive and remain, we're all going to die physically. But many people will suffer the death of the soul. We're going to die in this body, but our soul will not die. In fact, the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be what? Present with the Lord. That's the promise of eternal life that we're given. Remember I said we have eternal life. It's a present possession. It's not something we're waiting for. The moment this body dies, our spirit continues to live. And it's in heaven with God. This body will decay. It's a body of clay. It will die. But our spirit has never-ending life. Our soul has never-ending life. But there is a death of the soul. The Bible talks about it. The sheep will never experience that death, but there are many who will experience the death of the soul. And you know what the Bible calls that? It calls it the second death. Revelation 21, I'll read this to you. You don't have to turn there. We're starting to wrap up here. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Call it what you will. Call it the death of the soul. Call it the second death. Call it perishing. Call it utterly being destroyed. But many will suffer that fate. But God's people are promised that they will never perish, but instead have everlasting life. The only hope of never perishing, the only hope of never experiencing that second death, the only hope is in Christ Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to call your attention to a couple sections here. Christ is our only hope. The verse 16 I want to start with. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are what? Here's that word again. Perished. He's basically saying here, if there's no resurrection, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead with the hope of salvation, then we will perish, and those that have already died believing what we believe would perish as well. But the fact of the matter is, Christ did rise. Verse 25 and 26. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that he shall destroy is death. Talking about us being destroyed? That's true. But Jesus will destroy death. And then lastly, verses 56 and 57. Kenny alluded to this previously in a message. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is our only hope of never perishing. In conclusion, I want to give two invitations this morning. First, I want to talk to those that are saved, and I want you to know you have a great promise. I told you I did this little word study, and I thought something was interesting here. This blessed my soul, and I hope it blesses yours. But in John, you don't have to turn there. But in John chapter 6 and verse 39, we've heard this verse many times. And this is the Father's will that He has sent me, that all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but that I should raise it up on that last day. Isn't that a blessed verse? You want to know something really interesting? That word lose there is the same word as perish. Folks, He's given us the same promise there as He did in John chapter 10. He basically says, the will of Him that sent me is everyone that seeth the Son and believeth in Him may have everlasting life. But He says that all which He hath given me, I should perish or destroy none. Isn't that great? That's something I want you to carry with you all day today. And then lastly, for those that are unsaved, First Corinthians chapter 1 says this. You may be sitting here this morning and saying, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I don't believe that. That's silly. That's foolish. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says this. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, to them that are destroyed, is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I want you to understand something. If you consider this message foolish, The Bible says that you are in the category of people that will perish, that will be destroyed, that will experience the second death, that will suffer eternity, where the worm dies not, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. Oh, folks, believe today. Believe in the only hope, the only way to escape the certainty of perishing and being destroyed, the only means of escape is in the crucified, risen Son of God, Jesus Christ. And He promises that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him will not be destroyed, shall not perish, but have everlasting life.